The new 101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
Uh-oh. It's Sunday, and you know what that means. Yeah, I stole it. Good morning, everybody. It's the Mark Hoke Show. We are live on KDWN 101.5 FM, so you get us on the FM dial. 720 AM, so you get us on the AM dial. And get on that little internet thing that they made. You've heard of that fish, right?
I have.
KDWN.com. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Andrew Fish Fane in studio. What's going on, big man?
As always, nothing. Just another beautiful Sunday.
That's it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's sad.
Why? That it's a beautiful Sunday?
No, just that's all you got. It's all good. And, of course, from Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, the man, the myth, the legend, a hero in his own mind, Joe DeFalco. What's going on, Joe?
Oh, just waking up.
Good morning, sunshine.
Yes, I don't know if it's a nice day out yet.
Wow. See, there we go. That's when you're grumpy. See, we got you who's ambivalent, me who's going to be perky and try and keep that rolling for an hour, and grumpy Joe. I think it's a good match. It's all right.
It works out perfectly.
Oh, man. Well, we've got the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment here for you on the show today. We have got another jam-packed show, a lot happening, and, of course, All Out tonight, AEW with the big pay-per-view, the in-ring debut of CM Punk. Should be a lot of fun.
Is this where Daniel Bryan makes his AEW debut on camera, at least?
We don't know. That's what we're hearing.
Oh, I heard a hot rumor this weekend. A hot rumor.
Oh, should we save the hot rumor?
No. You can't say I got a hot rumor.
That's a tease.
He's not teasing it. Go for it, Joe.
I heard the... Now, I don't believe the hot rumor, but...
There we go.
The rumor I heard was Bray Wyatt is not released.
Really?
That's what I heard.
Wow.
And it had nothing to do with the fact that Barry Windham, Mike Rotundo, and Bo Dallas were in town signing at the collectible show this weekend.
How did I not know about that?
Yeah, U.S. Express.
The U.S. Express, one of the most underrated tag teams of all time, by the way.
When they took on the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff, it was gold, baby.
They were great in Florida, and then, of course, went to WWE and won the tag titles and, you know, and lost them to the Sheik and Volkoff and then got them back.
Yeah, so. And then Barry Windham became the Stalker and kind of ruined everything.
Well, there was a little bit.
That was the Widowmaker. I love the Widowmaker.
Sorry, the Widowmaker.
Barry Windham is one of the top five most underrated performers in wrestling history. Just the Broadways with Ric Flair back in the day.
Yeah, he was awesome. I love Barry Windham. And DDP was the Stalker. I just was watching it.
Yes, you are correct.
I was watching it on Facebook this weekend. They were showing that.
I got that backwards. Yeah, the Barry Windham was the guy dressed all in camouflage.
Yeah, and DDP came from WCW to get pinned by The Undertaker's wife.
Welcome to Vince McMahon's world.
Jim.
Well, yeah, after everything that happened with The Undertaker and his wife, I'm pretty sure that if it was booked today, it would have been a different finish.
You might be right, sir. You might be right. Well, speaking of that, of course, a lot of news, and then we're going to get into the shows and previewing All Out. But we did have a little fiasco at Raw this week. In case you didn't hear about that, Vince McMahon got his ripping hands out. Ripped up the script apparently three times before Raw. Three times. Can you believe that, guys? Wow.
The sad part is, yeah, I can't believe it, because that seems to be very typical of Vince McMahon now. And that's the problem with WWE, is that they can't have anything set because Vince McMahon changes his mind on a whim.
I think it's all a work. He's just trying to set it up for when NXT he takes over. So
Yeah, we're going to get to that too. But we just coming off, I've got Wrestling News CO, and of course this story was everywhere. But apparently Vince was loud and angry and ripped up the script 3 times. One source said that it is the loudest and angriest they had ever seen McMahon on the day of a show. That's got to be saying something.
Does it say what it was what in particular that he didn't like?
No, just
maybe the Charlotte and Nia Jax match.
They got rid of the Miz and Morrison were supposed to wrestle. That got thrown out.
Yeah, a lot of the matches got tossed. Actually,
yeah, he just
that they had previewed the week before, and they didn't end up happening.
But how do you work like that? I mean, if you're in creative, you know they got enough trouble in that room.
It was.
How do you work like that when you know
the main event was supposed to be Lashley versus Sheamus? Didn't happen.
You know, I mean, Joe. You know, you put shows together, and I'm sure that you make changes, and you have to make changes on the fly sometimes. But how could you put something consistent together when the boss says, "Yep, I'm throwing it out." Oh, I'm throwing this out too. I mean, how do you do it?
Well, thankfully, I'm the boss, so. Yeah. If somebody's doing it, it's me. But I remember jokingly, since, you know, we got a lot of guys signed and stuff, you know, just going over to the Performance Center. And it was like I jokingly said to one of my boys who's over there, I'm like, hey, why don't you get me a job in creative? You know what I'm saying? I could write better stuff than this. He's like, bro, you don't want that job. That is the worst job to have, is being a writer on that show. It's like it doesn't matter what you write. And it doesn't matter whether it's good or not, it's going to get changed anyway. And you are the most replaceable person, you know, in that staff.
I know you wanted that job.
Yeah, I heard stories that, like, on an airplane, because Vince McMahon does not sleep. He also doesn't sneeze, apparently. He hates sneezing.
But
Vince McMahon doesn't sleep. And apparently, one of the writers had fallen asleep. He threw an orange at his head because he was asleep.
Wow. Okay. Well,
the rule is if Vince McMahon's not asleep, you're not asleep.
Well, maybe he should get some sleep because the product's been asleep for years.
Yeah, possibly. To change gears a little bit, we do want to mention something very sad that happened during the week. As the wrestler known as Daphne, Shannon Spurl, has apparently committed suicide over the week. After a Facebook live
rant
that just went off the rails, everybody was trying to reach her. They couldn't do it. And TMZ was reporting today, or actually reported yesterday. She died from an apparent gunshot wound to the chest. So we lost Daphne. And a woman who was really ahead of her time, I think, in professional wrestling. And, you know, a lot of people loved her to death, too. But, you know, certainly, you know, we all know what depression can do to people. It's something that pulls you in. And, man, you can just seem normal and it tears you apart.
It doesn't matter who you are, how much money you have, how famous you are. It can affect everybody. And the one thing this has done is obviously has brought shine a brighter light on mental health and mental illness. And it please get help.
Yeah, and you know, coming from the world of poker, you know, doing those shows all those years and being around everybody, you know, it's very prevalent in poker because of the lifestyle and the incredible swings that you go through.
I can imagine
where you're, you know, one day, you know, you're sitting on $1 million and then the next day you're broke. And it happens more often than people would like to admit. And in the wrestling lifestyle, obviously the travel, the strain on the family, the for a lot of guys and gals, it's, you know, where am I going to get that next check? You know, who's going to sign me to do a match? And Joe, you're in that world. I mean, how much do you see of depression, and how difficult is that lifestyle for everybody?
Yeah, you see it all the time, and you see it from people that, you know, aren't on the road all the time. It's just, you know, we have a couple of people that we have on our shows that have said, like, hey, you know, don't book me for the next month or two. I need to take a break, you know, and even my son, who does, you know, the production and stuff, it just seems to get to him more than other people. It's like, you know, I need a break. And it's like, well, that's fine. You know, the way I grew up was, hey, if you need a break, tough it up.
Yeah, it was very much work through it, and you'll get through the other side. Just keep going, head down, and barrel through.
Yeah, so, it, you know, and with all these people living in, you know, in such a public eye as well, you know, we see it all the time that it's just so easy to tear people apart. You know, they do something wrong in the ring, or they, you know, they cut a bad promo, or whatever, that everybody just jumps on you like crazy. And you add that pressure onto everything else, and it's a difficult lifestyle. And you saw a lot of wrestlers and you know, people associated with the industry really saying, hey, reach out. And you know, you got people you love, and you just don't know. And even when you do know, you got to keep trying to.
I mean, did you see the video that she released the day before?
I did not watch the video.
And a lot of it was her just saying, you know, I'm all alone here. I'm all alone. And you could see that she was just in despair, and it was a downward spiral. Yeah. Now, I don't think you could tell from the video that what was going to happen the next day was going to happen, but you could see that she was in a downward spiral.
Yeah. So guys, you got somebody that you know is down, or, you know, even if you're there, they don't seem like it, they might be. And, you know, reach out and, you know, give them a little pat on the back. They may need it. So. A tough loss for wrestling from losing Daphne there. I did want to mention Gable Steveson, of course, the great amateur wrestler, just won an Olympic medal and world champion. What a shock, just signed with WWE. He's on board, Joe. What do you think?
Yeah, that just came right out of the blue. It's amazing. Man,
wow, who could have seen that coming a mile away?
Oh, man. So Gable Steveson is now going to be a WWE superstar.
How quickly are they going to push him?
Well, the good news is Kurt Angle announced he's coming out of retirement because he's going to show that he can beat the current Olympic champion.
Deal, you know, that
with a broken freaking neck.
Yeah. Yeah, but we'll look forward to seeing Gable Steveson in the ring. A couple title changes over the week in smaller promotions, I do want to mention. Trevor Murdoch did win the NWA title.
Okay.
Knocking off Nick Aldis, ending a 1,000-plus day reign for the former NWA champion, and, you know, of course, referring to Harley Race.
Mr. Mickey James.
And so Trevor Murdoch wins the NWA title, and an intriguing one last night, and I really want to get into this one because it kind of presents a bigger picture of what's going on in wrestling right now. Game Changer Wrestling has a new champion. Yes, they do.
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Matt Cardona. Was he in a match? He took on, I believe it was Frank the Clown, trashed him, and then and I apologize, I don't have the article in front of me. Had another wrestler come out and with some druids, and one of the druids, well, just went after Cardona, and it just happened to be John Moxley.
Did he cash in his money in the bank? Oh wait, no, never mind.
And Moxley is the new GCW champion. Now setting up a match with Nick Gage in Atlantic City in October. So, Joe, what are your thoughts of Moxley winning the GCW title last night?
Well, it was 3 weeks in the making. He was scheduled to wrestle in Vegas the night before our show together, and that's when AEW ended up doing their Friday night thing. And I had no idea. My son, you know, sent me a message. He's like, a new GCW champion. And I'm like thinking about it. And then I wrote Moxley. And he goes, yep. And it's like, well, they've been setting up, which I thought was weird because they had been setting up Nick Gage and Moxley for months. And all of a sudden Cardona won the title. And I was like, wow, that's kind of weird. And hey, what they did was they got the internet that, you know, follows GCW to the depths of hell in some cases, and they got the big rub with Cardona winning the belt. I think he had one title defense, the one in Vegas against some handpicked guy from the audience, and
Santino Morella
lost it.
Yeah, and I felt kind of bad for Matt getting caught in the middle of that. Matt was doing some great work. Did you see the belt, by the way? Do you see the belt? He decided to try and WWE up
Yeah, I heard he made GCW. It a spinner belt.
He made a universe put made it said universal title, and made it a spinner belt. And when he put it up on social media, he had John Cena's music playing in the background and spinning the belt. It was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious. But Cardona, he gone.
Yeah, broski boot.
Well, yeah, it was probably a short-term deal. You know, he wants a lot of money. So, you know, but it was great for GCW. And the match Cardona put on really put him more on the radar than his entire stint since he's shown up at Impact.
I mean, Moxley's not going to be champion for long, right? He's not going to be a long-term champion for GCW.
It depends, I guess, because, you know, in dealing with Moxley like we did, he's the guy that does what he wants to do when he wants to do it. You know, when he showed up because Cross answered his video and did the thing, it was intriguing to him. It had nothing to do with money. I barely had to pay the guy to do it. It was just a thank you. You know, it was a big thank you for me, you know, for what our budget is, but it was still, you know, probably a tenth of what he would normally charge to wrestle. But after the fact, you know, he had come down and trained with one of Josh Barnett's guys a couple months ago, and I hit him up about trying to get a booking and trying to book him, being that he lives in Vegas, and he was just like, yeah, you know, just send me the date, and, you know, if I ain't doing nothing, I'll show up. Like, he didn't even, like, care if I was trying to pay him money or anything. It was just like, if he was bored and wanted to do something, and at the time the wife was about to have the kid, so, you know, he was kind of out of the mix there. But he's tight with that GCW crew. With CZW, Brett was a part of that, and, you know, they go way back. So, you know, he just does things he likes to do, because I remember even asking him. And he was doing New Japan at the time. I'm like, so is your contract, you know, set up where you can do things? He goes, I'll do whatever I want. It's like, okay, cool.
That works.
We need to send a video to him based on this show so we can get him on the show.
Yeah, you know, I'll I'll challenge Mox.
There you go.
I'll challenge Mox. I don't know what I'll challenge him to. Maybe.
I'll challenge him to an Asylum match.
Well, you're nuts. I was just going to play Tiddlywinks or something.
I'll challenge him to an Asylum match.
But one thing that this title change brings to mind for me is it seems like a lot of the smaller organizations, and then you take AEW and New Japan, and you are pulling everybody together, it seems, to go against WWE.
Yeah, it's
and it's a very interesting association. You know, Daniel Bryan wanted to go to AEW because he wanted to wrestle some guys in New Japan, and it's a fascinating situation that it's almost like the NWA was, kind of. It's a much more looser association than it was in the territory days. But you have a very fluid group where everybody seems like now they can go to one place and another. Guys going from AEW to Impact. Guys going to New Japan, and New Japan guys coming over here. You know, Mox is wrestling Satoshi Kojima at All Out tonight. You know, he loves wrestling those guys. You know, I'm just waiting for Ring of Honor to get in on this too. But this is a fascinating dynamic that's taking place right now.
What's happening is WWE is insulating themselves. So it's basically, you're right, it's WWE versus the world. And this is not one, because of the times we live in. Back in the 80s, it was easy for the WWE to win because they had the big TV contract. Now it doesn't matter because you have the internet, because you have all these other sources where you can see these matches and follow your guys. I think WWE is in trouble by doing this. I mean, they just basically fired 100 people in WWE Japan and killed the entire group out there. So any association with Japan, WWE now seems to be over.
They tried to get in on the New Japan thing as a part of trying to sign Daniel Bryan. But here's the bottom line. The fact of the matter is WWE is on one side. Anybody who signs at WWE cannot do anything else. They can't wrestle anywhere else, but they get paid accordingly to it. Now, when Matt Cardona gets released and then goes to Impact Wrestling, how much could Impact Wrestling pay him when their entire monthly schedule is October 23rd for Bound for Glory, and then 2 days of tapings that takes over a month. Well, they only have three bookings that month. So they have to, if they want to get these name guys that they're wanting to get, they need to allow them to go elsewhere because now they can get close to that money. The difference is if you're getting $750,000 a year at WWE, are you leaving Impact for $100,000 a year because you have an exclusive contract? No. So now all these companies have gotten smart. Ring of Honor, they do a taping. They do their TV, they do their pay-per-view, and it's all in the, you know, Kenny King works for us. So it's like, hey, Kenny, you can be around now. I had to fly in, you know, to ROH, and they do a taping, and they do the pay-per-view, and then they're done because they're not really on a regular touring schedule anymore either. So now they get all these independent bookings, and it makes it possible for them to go out there. You know, when we dealt with it 6 years ago with Matt Hardy, you know, Matt was doing his little thing, and, you know, he would tell us numbers that we couldn't believe between the merchandising and what he charges. He basically said even at, $500,000-$600,000 a year in WWE, he was able to book his own dates when he wanted to because he didn't have to worry about travel anymore. He didn't have to worry about the hotel that when he was in WWE, he had to cover that. So take away all that and, you know, most of the money paid on the independents when Matt Hardy walked in, I didn't never give him a check. It was cash money.
Well, I'm surprised that this hasn't been completely challenged and blown away in court. The fact that, and I know there's a lot been made of it, that WWE calls them independent contractors, yet they can't be independent contractors if they're not allowed to work in other places. If they have an exclusive contract with WWE, they are then employees of WWE. But WWE does whatever they can to not call them employees. So
they tried to do it. Raven tried to sue, I remember. And you know what? I worked in 20 strip clubs here in Vegas, and one of the clubs, Cheetahs, I had to be an independent contractor. So when they decided to move on, I couldn't collect unemployment or nothing, but, you know, I couldn't work the cool shift and come in Friday night at 9 o'clock and make all the money. No, I had to come in Saturday morning at 6 a.m. and work the crappy graveyard shift, but I was still considered an independent contractor.
I would have paid to see you strip, Joe.
What?
He just said he was working at a strip club.
No.
Yeah, you know, exactly. So, see? You know, you had to earn your money that way.
You haven't met Joe yet, have you? No, you paid Joe to keep his clothes on. No offense, Joe.
Yeah, believe me.
Oh, my God.
Tim Bodie got off the plane last Sunday, and he actually ran into the show without knowing, and he was like, dude, I heard you on the radio, and he put me over and then said, you know, that definitely suits you being on the radio because he said I had a face for radio, so I didn't know what
he
that
listens
meant.
To our show.
I get that a lot, too. Yeah, that's awesome.
You have a face for radio.
Yeah, well.
Me, on the other hand, I have a face for everything, all forms of media. I am the king of media now.
You have a face for darkness, my friend. Well, we got about 30 seconds ago. Just real quick, by the way, no movement on Adam Cole yet, even though hints are coming that he's going to be showing up tonight.
Yes,
at all.
There is. Stop.
I'm just saying.
He went to see his
there's
dentist.
There's radio silence.
He went to see his dentist this
there,
past week.
There are little hints, but there is radio silence right now on Adam Cole. That's
Bay.
We'll see what happens tonight. But
him and Brian Danielson are going to show up together.
That could you imagine that? Dear Lord.
And Bobby Fish, too, and he shows up.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be
no
cool.
Relation.
No, yeah, no relation. All right. Well, we're getting ready to hit the end of our first half hour. Boy, it flew by. We're going to get to talk a little bit about what happened on Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, and Rampage, and then get into All Out, get our predictions. And then don't forget the snap calls coming up, too, where I get a chance to humiliate everybody for a few seconds, mostly myself. But thanks for joining us on the Mark Hoke Show. On KDWN, 101.5 FM, 720 AM on your dial here in Las Vegas and KDWN.com around the world. We'll be right back on The Mark Hoke Show. Thanks for joining us.
Now, let's return to the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
John Lindquist, the greatest voice in radio, is not lying. Mark Hoke is back. That's me. Hi. The Mark Hoke Show, thanks for being with us. Andrew Fish Fane, sitting across me, Fish.
Yes, sir.
You're looking cozy, man.
It's a beautiful Sunday. And we have Joe the Stripper on with us. So.
Yeah, and of course, Joe DeFalco from Future Stars of Wrestling. Great shows all the time. Make sure you guys go to fswvegas.com and see what's going on at the FSW Arena. I got to get down to a show.
Got to get down to a show. We got one next Friday. It's called Future Shock. It's where we feature a lot of our younger trainees who are about ready to have a match but not good enough to be, you know, working those big shows, but we try to get them their experience. You know, we have, you know, cheaper ticket prices just to get them to work in front of some fans. We had one nice show this past Friday to set up for our big Survival of the Fittest show September 24th at Diversion Amusements. So Chris Bay had his first FSW singles match at the arena for the first time in a long while. So he's got back involved, and scheduling wise, we've been fortunate to be able to use him.
Can I manage one of these guys this weekend?
Maybe say that again?
Can I manage one of these guys or be a valet or something?
You can be like Sonny.
Hey, you never know. You could be maybe a special guest commentator.
Ooh, that would be good quality entertainment. We'll have to talk about that, Joe. Sounds like fun. All right, let's get a little bit into what's been going on in the TV shows this week. To me, the biggest thing that happened was on Raw. Charlotte and Nia Jax. Oh, dear Lord. What a train crash that turned out to be. But, wow. We got a little bit of a shoot going on there, I think. Did you get to see the match there, Fish?
I did, and you could see that they were not happy with each other, and the match was very choppy from the beginning anyway. And then a poorly performed Samoan drop by Nia, and a heavy-handed slap from Charlotte kind of sorted things out.
A little bit of receipts there. Joe, did you see that match?
No, but I read all about it, and it seems like that's the norm with Nia Jax, to where, you know, she's had numerous incidents where, not where she shot on people, but where, you know, out of position, doing things that, you know, caused a receipt. And, you know.
She definitely got her receipt paid in full.
Yeah, and for those that don't know what a receipt is, haven't been following wrestling that tightly, a receipt is when someone does something in the ring or somehow ticks you off, and you pay them back. It's called getting a receipt. So just so you know the term on that. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, and she was kind of been off television for a long time because she, you know, wasn't probably good enough.
I thought it was because of the hair.
And you know, but if they had a real fight, I don't think I would take Charlotte Flair. So
no, I thought it was because of Nia's hair that kept her off TV. Good Lord, she looks like a poodle.
Oh, come on. Don't be mean.
Hey, I just call him like I see him. But I still say the best part. You say that was the best thing that happened this week was on SmackDown while Paul Heyman is doing an interview with Kayla Braxton and his phone rings and it's Brock Lesnar, but the ringtone is Brock Lesnar's entrance music.
That was pretty good.
That was hilarious. His entrance music is the ringtone.
So did Brock talk, or did we like not have to give him $600,000 for the appearance?
No, no, it was just Paul answering a phone and talking to nobody. But
he'll be. Brock should have insisted that he got to talk, because then he could have got $600,000.
Well, he's getting $600,000 next week for being at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, so big.
There you go. He's actually going to make the appearance. You know, we had our show Friday, so I didn't get to watch SmackDown yet. But yeah, so
well, they
got that. That's the whole angle right there. Where does Heyman's alliances lie? So it's that he can keep that feud going just by him being there.
Absolutely. And the reason it's the MSG show, though, is because it's also the 20th anniversary of 9/11 on Saturday, and they're going to be in New York, so they're building it up as a big patriotic show.
Yeah, so big show coming up there at Madison Square Garden. Otherwise, going down through Raw. That all. By the way, the R-Truth Akira.
All it is just passing time till next week. There's, you know, he could rip up all the scripts in the world, but it's the same show over and over. So I don't understand why he's mad this week compared to the last 6 weeks that sucked.
Yeah, maybe they didn't like Akira Tozawa dressed as a dog.
That was so bad.
The whole 24/7 is getting ridiculous.
Reggie with the 24/7 title is in a park, and R-Truth is dressed up like a woman, and there's somebody in a dog costume. And they start chasing Reggie around, and Reggie's doing his Cirque du Soleil flips to get away from him. And it turns out it's Akira Tozawa in the dog costume.
But how many times can you do that before? How many times can you do that before? Okay, great, Reggie can do flips. Next.
We figured that out.
It's not wrestling. It's entertainment. Was that not entertaining?
No.
Are you not entertained?
No. Vince, I was not entertained.
That's why he has Karrion Kross wearing the gladiator belt, so we can say, are you not entertained?
Yeah, that was an interesting match, too, by the way. I guess
the rumors that he was going to struggle until Scarlett came back was not true, so... You know, I'm guessing it was the humbling of him to make him lose, which, you know, we had a guy, this guy Tyshawn Prince. Tyshawn was over at a different school at the time, and we finally got him come over because the other guy who barely ran any shows, you know, didn't want his people wrestling for us, you know, and we had some big shows going on, and I remember our inner circle, you know, announcer guys, people that would have been with us from the beginning, and they were like, oh, you know, he came over from that other school, you know, you need to humble him. And it's like, well, when a guy's 6'6", 300-pound monster, you know, the idea is you introduce him to the fans, you can it's the first impression you see of him. So you can't have the guy go in and lose and then make him a monster. It's not believable anymore.
Exactly.
And he became one of our most dominant champions that we ever had. And with Cross, it's like it just seems like the fans, they haven't really taken to him because the stuff that made him popular on an FSW and Impact and AAA and all that stuff was his character.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eddie Scarlett was great, but now they don't let him talk. They don't let him do that much, and they don't have Scarlett. So it's like, how are you trying to build this guy who's supposed to be a monster?
Yeah.
To me, it's typical WWE booking, and then they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's such inconsistency there. Really, probably the WWE match of the week was Reigns and Finn Balor. Great match, though, and otherwise, SmackDown, but... But I heard
good things about the three-way on Raw with Drew McIntyre.
It was a good match.
It got better, but man, I don't know what it is, but there is just something off with Damian Priest, and I don't know if it's just the way he's just some of the kicks and the moves just don't seem really
fluid.
Clean. It's not fluid, and it just doesn't look quite right. And something's bugging me there.
Somebody really likes him. It's like he was a guy that I really thought would struggle going to the main roster. You know, it was like I was never a big fan of his in Ring of Honor. You know, I remember we were getting ready to do a Mecca show, and Ring of Honor was running the night before, and his contract was pretty much up, and he was leaving. And it was, you know, his people, you know, reached out like, hey, you know, he'd love to work the show, and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, you know, we really didn't have room, but if it was Adam Cole who asked or Jay Lethal, I would have made room. But for him, it was like, yeah, you know, no big deal. And then all of a sudden he got signed, and it was like, well, you know, he's definitely not one of those younger dudes. He's in his late 30s.
Yeah, he's 38.
And but some reason he got to the main roster, and they they've given him one of the biggest pushes that any of those NXT guys have gotten. Like, from day one, they've put him in a really good position to succeed.
They allowed Drew McIntyre to put him over, too. So, yeah, they obviously really must think highly of Damian Priest if you're doing that.
You know, and
how meaningless is that, though? It's like, so on some random Raw show, Drew McIntyre just put over this guy. How much did it mean?
You know, and I'll counter you a little, because I did like his work in Ring of Honor. I really did. I think they're having, they've changed his style up, and just something just seems off to me. I don't know what it is. You know, I liked him better as, you know, not being the aerial guy, is just coming in and crushing people. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me that I'm seeing things other people aren't, but that's how it is. By the way,
you're right. He is not fluid. He's very stop and start and choppy when he's doing the aerial type moves.
I think he needs to get away from it. I really do. But one match real tight, real fast before we get into All Out and some stuff that happened on AEW. Rick Boogs beat Dolph Ziggler. What the hell?
Poor Dolph.
Dolph needs to
go back to being Nikki.
I need to see. Dolph Ziggler is All Elite. That's what I need to see. Get him down there with his brother. That would be fun, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Poor
Dolph. They pay him a lot of money, and he's a guy who seems to like money. So
yeah.
he ain't going nowhere. He had a chance to leave and be probably a main player for many different companies, but that guaranteed money, and he doesn't get used, and he can go do a comedy show somewhere and then, you know, show up when they need him and, you know, put him over for a few weeks. That way he can get buried, you know, a few weeks after that.
it's unbelievable. Poor Dolph. AEW on Dynamite. Great match. Santana and Ortiz against FTR. Wow, was that fun. Those guys are so good. I could watch them wrestle for hours on end. Just do a match, restart, say we're gonna do a best of seven with Santana and Ortiz and FTR tonight. And I'd be like, I'm down. I enjoyed that match a lot.
I told you, when I saw, you know, LAX for the first time over at Sam's Town, and he wrestled Phoenix, I believe it was Santana, and it was the best match of the entire weekend. And it was like, I talked to him afterwards. I'm like, bro, man, that was a great match. I was so used to them because they were feuding with the old LAX before that. So their in-ring style didn't really get to gel to what they were capable of doing when they got to wrestle Phoenix. You know, those guys were quickly on my radar for when we were doing our Mecca shows, that this is like the best tag team. This might be the best tag team in wrestling. You know, they were going head-to-head with the Lucha Bros and Impact, and it was like, wow, now they got the big stage on AEW, and it was like, wow, what a dud. And it's like, finally, they're like giving them, you know, real matches and a feud and giving them the opportunity to go out there, because, you know, for the first part of their run, all they were just lackeys for Chris Jericho.
Right. So good to see that. And one other guy that I really want to mention from both AEW shows, man, is Rey Fénix good. Rey Fénix is one of the, I'll just say, he's one of the best wrestlers I've ever seen. That, is there anything that guy cannot do in a ring? It's unbelievable to see his athleticism. You know, and I can't remember which match it was where he went from the top rope down the middle rope, back of the top rope, and just flying all over the place. And, you know, the agility. Wow, is Rey Fénix fun to watch, Joe? Jeez.
Yeah, Rey Fénix. Go on our YouTube, check it out. Rey Fénix versus Chris Bay versus Douglas James at one of the Meccas. And it was, you know, that definitely was that day, the match of the night. And it was, you know, tremendous having those guys there. Matt Sydal and Pentagon, well, not so great.
Yeah, well, and a pretty good finish to Dynamite with the cage coming down and Christian and Lucha Brothers just getting the living hell beaten out of them. You know, we don't see that enough where bad guys are just being really bad. Dropped the cage, locked them all in with everybody, and just tore them apart to end the show. That was a great finish to that show. No comments?
I didn't see it.
Well, what are you doing?
I told you I haven't.
You gotta get on your AEW. But yeah. Wow. And Darby Allin wrestling on Dynamite. And I gotta give Daniel Garcia credit, by the way. You know, you kind of look at the guy, and he's a smaller guy, and of course so is Darby Allin. Those two looked fantastic in the ring together, just flying all over the place. That was a very good match, and of course, you know, you're setting up Darby and CM Punk at the end there. But man, those two were fun, and I give Daniel Garcia some credit. I liked his work. Joe,
there's a lot of great talent. It's like, you know, the good thing is you know, I'm not a fan of AEW Dark and all the other stuff, but they it's a YouTube show, but they give these younger guys opportunities, and some of them, you know, make something of it. That there is, like, I say it over and over, and I hate to repeat myself, but there's more talent in wrestling with wrestlers nowadays than I believe that there has ever been. And the problem is there's just too much overcrowding and not enough of, you know, building characters and stories. And, you know, for the fans, they need to engage. They need to believe. And, you know, a lot of times they're not doing a good enough job to make people care.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, and that kind of goes back to the whole situation with all of these wrestling organizations starting to kind of pull together and work together a little bit more. You know, you're going to start seeing some tie-ins and some crossovers, and I get a kick out of that. So, yeah, we'll see how this turns out. Well, let's talk about AEW All Out tonight. I think, I'm going to be heading over to the Orleans to watch this show. They're going to be showing it at the theater, one of the theaters in there. So I'm going to.
It would have been nice if they promoted it in any way.
Yeah, I know, because I went and there were a ton of seats. So I think I'm going to go over. So, guys, if you want to meet me, and, you know, maybe some of their guys will come out too if they're not doing anything, and, you know, come on out and watch All Out at the Orleans. Let's go down through this card, guys, and get your thoughts, your predictions. Oh, here we go. Predictions. We have a 10-man tag team match.
Oh, boy. Oh. New Japan.
Oh. I'm not sure what the point of this is, but it could be fun. We've got the best friends, Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, and Wheeler Yuta with Jurassic Express and Marco Stunt. Oh, God. I'm losing track already. Taking on the Hardy Family Office, Matt Hardy, Private Party, and the Hybrid, so it's Angelico and Jack Evans. What do you got, Fish? Who wins this fiasco?
The Jurassic Express team, because they are right now on they have a rocket strapped to their back. They absolutely love them in AEW, and rightfully so.
That's who I got too. Joe, what do you think on that one?
I have to go with my favorite wrestler of all time, Matt Hardy. So.
Ooh, delete.
He got an upset going. Yeah, and Matt Hardy had who's he? Man, I forgot who he was. Oh, the Orange Cassidy match, where they were going back and forth with that. That was a fun one last week. We have the 21-woman. My voice just crack?
No.
It did. The 21-woman Casino Battle Royale winner gets a shot at the AEW Women's title. Everybody and their grandmother is in this match. Even though we did hear Julia Hart is out. Fish, I know you're not that familiar with the
Nyla
roster.
Nyla Rose.
Already taken Nyla Rose on that one. I'm going to disagree in a minute, but Joe, who you got in this?
Be honest, I have no clue who's in it.
I'll give you a few names that I think are possibilities: Nyla Rose, Thunder Rosa, Tay Conti.
I'm going to go already. Thunder Rosa. She left NWA. They have to kind of push her there. She had some good matches on AEW when she was the NWA champ. So I'll go with Thunder Rosa. You know.
Jade Cargill's in this. Jade Cargill. And even though
they always do the kind of like the giant thing, nine people will team up and throw it out.
But you know what? I'm actually going to agree with Joe. I think Thunder Rosa wins this tonight. But I will not be surprised if Jade Cargill is your winner as well. So I'm gonna hedge my bet on that one a little bit. The fun one with Jon Moxley taking on the Japanese legend Satoshi Kojima. Fish, who you got?
I'm going to go with Moxley, but I would not be surprised to see Kojima win.
Joe, what do you think on this one?
Well, yeah, it is the perfect time. Moxley's got no belts anymore in AEW, so you know, they seem to really embrace the Japanese wrestlers, not like WWE. So, yeah, it could be primed for an upset or something to set up Moxley going to Japan and doing something there.
I got Mox. Paul White taking on QT Marshall. And, of course, QT is going to have 9,000 people in his corner. The gun show turned on Paul White and everything. So we've got a little fiasco going on. But who you got in Paul White and QT Marshall?
I think Paul White squashes. I really do. I think there's no point in bringing him to the ring to have him lose. I think that Paul White squashes QT Marshall.
Joe?
If I go to the bathroom and when I come back, the match is still not over, then
wow.
But I don't really have much to say about that.
Wow, he bathroom matched this one. I'll take Paul.
And it's probably going to be like the first match. So imagine that. The pay-per-view starts and you go right to the bathroom.
Not how it's supposed to work, but Paul, I'll take Paul White in this one. Interesting match here. Chris Jericho against MJF. If Jericho wins, he retires from in-ring competition in AEW.
If Jericho wins, Jericho...
Or Jericho loses, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, if Jericho... Well, yeah. I was going to make a joke after
I go MJF all day. You can tell me they built all this up. You know, I know it's the opposite build with the heel and the face, but if the heel never gets over, then what's the point?
I agree. I think Jericho loses his match.
I think he does too, but I will not be surprised if Jericho wins.
Yeah, he can do commentary for a while.
I think Jericho wants some time off to do commentary, let his body heal up. I would not be shocked. I think now that he sees AEW well on its way, he doesn't need to be there.
I think he's,
and he's got the cruise coming up.
Yeah, the cruise is coming up, and I think he's got the Fozzy thing going on too. So yeah, I'll take MJF. Miro and Eddie Kingston for the TNT title. This one kind of popped up out of nowhere. Eddie Kingston kind of made me mad in this promo the other night, but we'll...
I think Kingston wins. I think Kingston wins the title.
Wow. Joe, what do you think on this one?
I think it's the perfect time for that. That is one of the most intriguing matches that I see on the card, just because the shocking, the way that Eddie Kingston has gotten over... In AEW, it's like, well, you know, you're supposed to reward stuff like that.
I take Miro. Sorry. I'm still going with the big man. But I wouldn't be shocked, but I'm taking Miro. The cage match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship, we got the Young Bucks taking on the Lucha Brothers. There's going to be people flying all over the place in this match. What do you think, Fish?
The Young Bucks are not going to book themselves to lose. The Young Bucks retain.
Wow. All right. Joe?
The Young Bucks are going to book themselves to lose.
There you go.
Like I said, the Young Bucks will book themselves to lose. Joe, didn't you not hear what I just said?
Oh, okay. I didn't hear correctly. Seeing I'm not in the studio.
That's what it is.
I'm going to take the Young Bucks.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I'm taking the Young Bucks. So, but that's still another intriguing matchup. Won't be surprised Lucha Brothers win, but I'm going to take the Bucks.
If they were good bookers like myself, the Lucha Brothers would win. So I
think they're still waiting for Jurassic Express.
Joe, I completely agree with you, but no one's as good a booker as you. So
and that's the problem sometimes.
There you go. We got about 3 minutes left. We got Dr. Britt Baker and Chris Statlander for the women's title.
If they want Adam Cole, Britt Baker retains the title.
Yeah, I was going to say the same exact thing.
Yeah, Britt Baker is going to win this. CM Punk against Darby Allin, Punk's long-awaited debut.
This is when Dominic Mysterio turns. Sorry, wrong. I will tell you this. Daniel Bryan will interfere. This is the match he'll interfere in. Whatever side he interferes on, that's a side that wins. So if he comes down and helps Darby Allin, he'll beat CM Punk. If he comes down and helps CM Punk, they'll beat Darby Allin.
Ooh, throwing a.
I am going online and betting whatever I can on Darby Allin because I know he's going to be a big dog.
There you go. CM Punk wins. And the match for the AEW World title, Kenny Omega, Christian Cage.
Ugh.
They're not going to have Omega lose to Cage again and lose another title to him, so Omega wins this match.
Joe?
If it was Brian Cage, I'd pick Brian, but since it's Christian, I'm going with Omega.
All right, and I will take Kenny Omega as well. All right, so we've got about a minute and a half to go, so just want to remind everybody, of course, you can follow Fish on Twitter at TheFish1969. You can follow Joe on everywhere for FSW Vegas. That's his big Twitter handle and, of course, Facebook as well. You can follow the show here at Mark Hoke Show, Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show. And, of course, come onto the website. I actually did get a message from somebody the other day, by the way.
Said Dominic Mysterio should turn heel.
Get some T-shirts. Real quick, we got about – and I did want to ask this question before we go. How many debuts – we're not going to get snap calling. How many debuts happened tonight? Real quick.
Three.
Wow. Joe, how many debuts happened tonight?
I'm going to say two just because they need a spot in that women's battle royal.
Two. Okay. I think it's two. I think Cole and
Daniel Bryan.
And Bryan show up tonight. But,
Cole's going to be in the women's battle royal and beat Britt Baker. That is
he's going to be Santina.
That would be so bad. But Adam Cole, by the way, still is on the WWE current superstars page. Just so you know,
that's not a mistake. That is not a mistake.
Up there.
Just remember my hot rumor, Bray Wyatt. So.
I like that rumor.
We'll see what happens. But, yeah, we'd appreciate you follow the show. And, of course, you can download all the shows at Podbean. Just go to markhokeshow.podbean.com. And we're all over all of your favorite sites to get shows like iTunes and all that fun stuff. So, and, of course, shows are up on YouTube as well, so check them out there. Hey, thanks for being with us, Fish. Good job, Joe. You're awesome.
See y'all tomorrow night.
All right, and we'll see you guys hopefully watching All Out later this evening. Have a good one, and thanks for joining us on The Mark Hoke Show on KDWN.